I don't know how you approach a new year. A lot of people do it differently. Some people start a fast or break one. Some people end one, I guess. Some people make resolutions, like New Year's resolutions, like this year I'm going to do this or this year I'm not going to do this. And I don't know if that, I seem like that, I don't hear people talking about that quite as much as I used to. That used to be a very prevalent thing, people making New Year's resolutions. But I think it would be better if they made New Day resolutions than New Year. Just saying. And so if you have, God bless you. And hope that works out good for you. And if you haven't, and you're looking for a bargain, wait till about February 15th, and there'll be a whole lot of exercise equipment on eBay. And you can get a bargain that way. Lord, would you come and help us this morning? We open the Word of God. We ask to be open to the Word of God. And Father, would you come and count those things to our understanding? So like that you add something to our understanding today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to take you to John chapter 20, which is the chapter where we read that people found out Jesus was raised from the dead. So it's kind of a, I'll put a paragraph on your outline. It says, the story of the resurrection of Jesus is an interesting backdrop for the beginning of a new year. The disciples and followers of Jesus were living in an environment that was filled with mockery and hostility towards their faith. So like they were Americans. And they were confused and filled with the misunderstanding about his death. They felt alone, they felt afraid and unsure about the future. Sound familiar? Lots and lots of people don't like the beginning of a new year because they're afraid of what it might hold. And someone asked me, how are you feeling about 2019? I said, well, I don't know anything about 2019, but what I know about 2018 make me glad it's over. So I think it's righteous to be glad that something's passed. But it's also right to have an expectation of the goodness of God forthcoming, right? The Bible connects these things together. He says, I know what my plans are for you for a future and a hope. Future and hope are vitally connected to each other. And so at the beginning of a new year, well, I hope it's not like last year. Well, that's not the thing to hope. The thing is, I hope it's everything he wants it to be this year. Okay? So it's with that kind of mentality. And I'll tell you how hyper, really spiritual and prophetic I am. I've done this for a number of years. I've done this for a number of years that I don't remember the number of. So a long time. But at the beginning of a new year, this is 2019. So in my incredible biblical insight, I go through the Bible and I look at every chapter 20, verse 19, like I did last year, every 2018, and the year before, 2017, and ad nauseum. Why do I do that? I don't know. I've just been doing it for years and years and years, and the Lord almost always speaks to me in one of those passages, and he did. So that's how we got to John 20. And I'm going to center on verse 19, but I'm going to make you listen to the other verses before we get there. But that's the idea. And it's one of those things where, well, gee, can you count on the Lord to do that? I don't know. I've just done it so long. It's one of the ways he talks to me. And so John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb. You know, isn't that what you want to do, starting a new year and talk about the tomb? Yeah. While it was still dark and saw the stone had already taken away from the tomb, so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. I love that. John's writing this, and he's the one that says John was the one that Jesus loved, so he refers to himself as the one who Jesus loved. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he did that, by the way. And said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and then the other disciple was faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. So Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, this is John, who had first come to the tomb, then also entered, and he saw and believed. Isn't that an interesting statement? Peter saw, doesn't say he believed, doesn't say he didn't. But John saw and John believed. Now, John might not have known what was in Peter's heart, but John saw something that caused a belief in his heart. So up to this point, they didn't believe. Now, what did they believe? Well, we'll talk about that maybe in a minute. But he said, they believed. John believed, and for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Psalm 16. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. So something happened to John, but it didn't impact him too greatly because he went home. He went, okay, good. Well, that's over. Check. And they went home. I find that interesting. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white. Now, I don't know if Peter and John were, not as perceptive. I know they weren't weeping. But she sees two angels, one at the head and one at the feet of where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she wanted to say, "Well, it's a graveyard, But she says to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and didn't know that it was Jesus. Mary is a real human, isn't she? Because the Lord sometimes is right smack dab in the middle of stuff and just walk on by, you just don't know that he's engaged yet. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?" Isn't that interesting? See, the weeping and the seeking are connected. Hello? Sometimes weeping and seeking are connected. Supposing him to be the gardener, don't know what the gardener looked like, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came out announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Something happened when they entered the tomb. When John entered, it didn't say something happened to Peter, may have, but when John entered, he just didn't look in. When he entered in, he believed. I think there's a little bit of a picture for that. When you stop at the door, that's different than going through the door, isn't it? And so you could go to the door and look in and describe everything that you saw, but you don't encounter what you see until you enter in. There's a whole lot of people who don't know the Lord the way they can know the Lord because they stop at the door. They can recount some of the details and what they see, but they haven't had an encounter. They haven't touched what's really there, so they can't be actually informed by what's really there, or in this case, by what's really not there, right? Because what was important is that he wasn't there. That was the big thing. So what did John believe? John believed something enough, like he goes, "Oh, something must be up." Now, they didn't understand the scriptures about the resurrection. They just didn't get it yet. That's okay. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet, so they get a pass. But he said he believed. I think that's really important. You can believe at a level and recognize there's still more. That's a really healthy place to be. That's a really healthy place to be. And I don't know if Peter didn't have the same response, but it's John writing it. So we know that that's what he says. But what effects was their misunderstanding of the scripture having on the disciples? If they really understood what Jesus had said and that this isn't it, and the reason he's not there is because he's not there. Not because he's not, just because he's not there. He's alive, but he's not alive in the way he was alive, and he's not alive where he was. Are you with me? And they didn't get that, and they thought, darn Romans, they must have something. Somewhere in here, John said, Jesus did say, I'm just going to believe that what he says is true, but I don't have any idea what he means. And so they just went home and turned on the game or whatever. I mean, they just left. It wasn't like they went fishing. They just left. And then here's Mary, and she's talking to the angels, and it's, I don't know about you, but if I'm encountering two brilliantly, incandescent angels that are sitting there where Jesus used to be, I'm probably not going to talk much to the gardener. She had more conversation with the guy that she thought was the gardener than she did with the angels. I find that remarkable. But they just said, well, what are you, woman? Because he said the same thing the angels said. The angels called her woman because they weren't on a first name basis. And when Jesus spoke to her the first time, he said, woman. Like, hey, lady, what's up? Are you okay? You're crying. Have you lost someone? I'm being, being kind. But I don't know about me. I think I would have might engaged with the angels a little more when I figured out who they were. Isn't that interesting? That's kind of miraculous, actually. But if she didn't know it was Jesus and the significance of him being there, she might not have picked up on the significance of angels being there either. Well, do you believe there are angels? Yep. Have you ever seen them? I've seen what they do. I've discerned what they do. I've actually felt the wind, the presence of an angel, but years ago, Brad Boyd and I were doing a Sunday school class years ago, and he did the singing. The Sunday school teacher hadn't shown up, so they came and got me out of the congregation. I told them I'd do that at the time. I was an elder there, and that if any time a teacher didn't show up, just come and get me, and I'd fill in. Well, they did. So I just filled in. And at the end, I was teaching on the book of Acts, talking about Philip being translated and talking about an angel that had spoken to him. And one of the girls said, yeah, I saw an angel while you were teaching. And I said, that's nice. And then she described the angel. These are like fifth and sixth grade girls. And I said, that's nice. And I said, well, you're having more fun than I am. Because I didn't see any. And they just looked at me, was shocked, and said, you don't see angels? And I said, well, I see you little angels that are sitting there, like, what? No, I'm like, you don't really see angels? And I said, no. And so four of them just walked up and laid hands on me and prayed for me. Still didn't see any, but... But it was so normal for them in their praying. I thought, that's remarkable. That's cool. Anyway, and so there's always purpose for God sending angels because they're his messengers. So the gardener, Jesus, speaks to Mary and she doesn't understand. But then he says, Mary. And her immediate response is, teacher. instantly. And so, Jesus speaks her name. He just says, Mary, because his sheep hear his voice. And he calls them by name and leads them. This is an amazingly good way to pray for people. I just prayed with a young lady about a young man named John. And the first thing I did was confess his name before the throne. Because John needs to hear the Lord say, John. That's the biggest attention getter you'll ever have. If you want to pray for someone that's lost their way, had been following the Lord and is not following the Lord, this is a great verse to use because it's from John 10, but he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd speaks, calls his sheep by name. By name, he calls them. And you can hear the name of the shepherd calling you. So you can know his name because he knows yours. This is a great way to pray for somebody that either doesn't know the Lord or has walked off. I can't tell you how many times I have tried to use that and say, Lord, they haven't listened to me, but they might listen to you. And you say that you're the good shepherd and your sheep hear your voice and will hear you call their name. And then it says, and you will lead them out. Hopefully lead them out of the crud that they're in. This is from John 10. And so I want to do that. I just want to do that right here. If you know someone who stepped away from the Lord, or know someone that desperately needs to turn to the Lord, if you'll just say, Lord, you know their name is while I pray. Give their name to the Lord. Lord, I pray for every name that's being mentioned before you right now, that you would speak their name in a way, in a language they can understand, so they can hear your voice and respond. And it says the next thing you do is to lead them out. And I ask that we would hear stories of people being led out of the traps that they are in, the traps that have been set for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Use that. Yeah, that's really good. So she understands it's Jesus. And he says, go tell my boys. So she does. She does. He said, listen, I haven't ascended yet, but that's where I'm going. So you tell the guys that you've seen me. His ascension, I think he already went and came back before we see the next story. He doesn't go to stay, but he goes. So he said, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. In other words, there's something that needs to happen for me to present myself to the Father before you. We want him to have the first hug. He wants him to have the first embrace. You know what I'm saying? He walks into the heaven and like this and says, what are those wounds in your hand? And he says, these are the wounds I've received in the house of my friends. Yeah, this it's done. It's finished. It really is. She says, but you go tell them that I'm alive. Tell them what I said. And they do. Well, the story's not over. That's really good. It's not over. They gather together because they're afraid. The Bible says they're afraid of the Jews. They're hiding because of the Jews. And they'd just seen the empty tomb. They learned that Jesus was alive, but they were still stunned and frightened and in hiding. And it says in verse 19 of John 20, so when it was evening on that day, so it's the same day, the first day of the week, so it was Sunday, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. He didn't knock on the door. He just came and stood in their midst. And he said these four words, peace be with you. That's John 20, 19. And I would say, if you could have that as a way to start your year, where the word of the Lord to you is peace be with you. That is the runway for the power of God to come into your life. If you're not at peace with him and you don't have the peace of him with you, it's hard for frenetic activity to invite the presence of the Lord. I read that and I thought that is so perfect. Four words, peace be with you. But it's not just peace. We'll get to the rest of it. But this, I put on the title of your outline, put on the bulletin, it's the peace that leads to life. It's peace with a purpose. It's empowered peace. Peace that leads to life. So he says, peace be with you. Why did he tell them that? Because they had anything but peace. And maybe everything but peace. They're all huddled and they were afraid because they're thinking, oh. Romans are going to think we stole the body. They're going to blame us for stealing the body. You know, all sorts of things going through their head. And the thing is now, they're also trying to get over it. Mary, what did he say again? What did he look like? Was he wearing that brown tunic? They were trying to familiarize themselves with what Mary had seen because she's the only one who had seen him. And they desperately wanted to believe that he was alive, but they'd also seen the empty tomb. And so what do you do with that? I mean, if you were really believing that, you'd be out with a search warrant looking for him. But they were all huddled in this little place hoping, oh, hope soldiers don't find us. I'm not saying I wouldn't have been with them. I mean, it's a kind of a scary thing. Not very many funerals I'd ever gone to were interrupted by the person who was being buried not being there. That's a freaky thing, isn't it a little bit? And he's not there, but he's also not with them. And Mary says, no, I saw him. I touched him. He's alive. Don't you remember, he said, you know, and no, they didn't, exactly. But he comes into the midst of them and says, peace be with you. They're locked down, the doors are closed, and nothing can get in and nothing can get out. And then what happens? The Lord shows up. And the Lord shows up and speaks peace. And you know, you can't lock him out. You just can't lock him out. They were locked in for fear of who might come. And they're also locked in because they wanted other people locked out. And that's what fear does to us. That's what fear does to us. So Jesus comes in and stands right in the middle of them. He says, right in the midst of them, and declares his peace to them. And so this is a great way to pray over the new year. In fact, I wrote in your outline, what we need to do is receive Jesus into the fearful and hidden places in our own hearts and lives so he can impart peace to us. So what doors has fear locked in you, in your life? What portals, what passages have you locked in, and others have you locked people out? Where is that? These were the main followers, and yet they weren't in passionate pursuit of him. They were afraid, and they were in lockdown. They were scared. Now, I'm not, being scared is not wrong. What time I am afraid, I trust in you. It's the response you have to it. So, and you notice Jesus didn't knock on the door because Mary didn't recognize his voice when he said, woman, you know. He just came in because they needed him in the mess where they were more than he needed to go through the protocol of ringing the bell. Are you with it? Isn't that good? So when you really need it, he may not just do all the things polite and politically correct to get to you. He may just kick in the door and come. Now, in this case, he just came because he can. Resurrected body is an amazing thing. He just appeared. And that's sometimes what we really need. Sometimes he appears because we're not capable of giving the right invitation. Fear keeps you from making the right invitation. So he just said, yeah, they want me. And he comes. So even though they're locked down, they're afraid, and they're hiding, he shows up. Why? Why did he do that? Because his love is greater and stronger than their fear. I want to tell you, I want to look you in the eye and tell you that his love is greater and stronger than your fears, than my fears, than our fears. It's really true. Because he comes and he says, oh, peace be with you. From the Hebrew, it's just peace to you, peace to you, peace to you. He ends up saying it three times in these next few verses. Why? Because he didn't have it. And he knew they needed it. Peace is that of God and that with God. You got to be able, this is so simple, but I mean, this has worked so good. You got to be able to do this and smile. If you can't look up and smile, you need the peace of God. Doesn't change the circumstances. These guys, I mean, the Romans were still ruling the place. You know, they were still criticizing and brutalizing people who believe. I mean, this, it didn't get better real quick like that. But something happened in here. Something happened in here. And that's the issue. That's the peace of God. It corrects things. It directs things. Because he is our peace. Peace is a person and a connection with him. And so I know if I get to that point where I can't look up and smile, then I need the justice of the peace to come and adjudicate that in my life. So he shows up and he does it. And then he's really good about it. I mean, he doesn't just show up and say, gotta go. Happy New Year. He doesn't. He just steps into the situation, tells them what they need to have. And so I'm thinking he's saying it in the same way he said it in John 14, where he says, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not the way the world gives it to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. And he's already told them that in John 14. And in John 16, he says, these things I've spoken to you, all the things that he said, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have trouble, tribulation. But take courage, I've overcome the world. I said this to you so in me you could have peace. See, and he wasn't there, so they weren't having any peace. So he shows up. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. So whether I'm physically present or not, my peace is with you. I think he must have been thinking that and tried to stir them up a little bit by way of reminder. I wonder, even since they knew the story of his birth, that they'd remember what it said in Luke 2, that it's peace on earth, goodwill to men. I mean, I think he's trying to reinvigorate those verses in their hearts when he speaks to them like that. Because they didn't understand it yet. The Bible says so. So then he says in verse 20, guys, I know what you're like. Essentially, is what he's doing. And he understands what they're like, and he understands what they need. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he said this, he breathes on them. So he says peace to them again. He shows them his hands, the hole in his side. He presents himself to them. He says, guys, this is really me. This is the new me. This is what it looks like. I was there. You could tell that I got it. And peace, because you've heard me. Now you're going to see me. Listen, I'm going to prepare a way for you. And my peace is going to provide the pathway to power. And you're going to get the power of the Spirit of God. And then he breathes on. I don't know about you, but can you put yourself in that picture for just a minute? What would you do if the resurrected Jesus shows up and said, everything's good. Peace, man. Not like, peace, dude. Peace. Everything's good. And now I'm going to make this personal. I'm going to release what's in me to you. And the Hebrew word is ruach, it's pneuma, for the word for spirit, for breath in the New Testament. And he says, this will take care of it. How will they have peace? Because now the one who is peace will be in them. Huh? Because he knows he's not here to stay, but they are. So he's going to stay in them, so they can live without him physically being there. Now, are you getting it? He says, I'm here now. You really believe me? You can see. And he showed them, observably they could tell, wow, that's where they nailed you. That's where you, this, yeah, that's really you. Of course, he's got a resurrected body, which is different. Long blonde hair and stuff like that. No glasses. But he says, and he breathes on them. But as it always happens, somebody always misses the meeting. Haven't you ever done that? The one week you didn't go was the greatest thing that you ever. Haven't you had that? That's why you're supposed to come every week. See? Yeah. We prayed about this again yesterday, but for years, I always told the worship team, because, there's a sense in which we prepare the same way. You have to have a list of songs, and we have to understand who's doing this and singing that and all that kind of stuff. And we're interesting people. We will work with the team and interrupt it with prophetic words and things like that. That's a harder thing to do, to maintain a flow of worship, and also the interjection of the word of the Lord. That's not as easy as you might think it is. And I would always say to him, never forget today is somebody's day. I can't tell you who, I can't tell you how many, but I know him, and today is somebody's day. I'm looking at you today and saying, today is somebody's day. And in John 20, all of them had their day at one time because Jesus breathed on each of them, on all of them. Wow. So, like in Acts chapter 1, 3, it says, he showed himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs. He gave them all the proof they needed. They'd only walked with him for 3.5 years and see him raise people from the dead and feed the 5,000 and change water to wine, you know, little things like that. But he gave them everything they needed to be able to say, oh, yeah, this is really him. And then he said, now let me show you what I'm really like. You can't know him by figuring him out. It's not a cognitive process. Yes, you have you haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind, and we use sound mind. But sound mind yields to the presence of the one who created the sound mind. I tried to figure him out, and I dismissed him and said that he wasn't there. Oops! That's the biggest mistake I made. And I was very convincing in it until the convincer showed up. And then, like Job, I said, I've heard about you, but now I see you, and I just repent of everything I've ever said. I didn't know Job said that at that time, but that's really what I did. I said, ooh, I must have been wrong. Whoa, spirit of Fonzie left me in that moment. Because I never thought I was wrong. But he breathes on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they each have an encounter with the Spirit of God. Isn't that a good way to start the year? Don't you want to have an encounter with the Spirit of God? We're fixing to do that. The peace of God comes to prepare the way for the power of God to come to us. And see, he speaks, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. This is a commanded gift. It's a commanded blessing. He says, now you guys, if you want to, since you're around. No, he goes, I'm here. You say you believe. I'm giving you. And he commands blessing. And it's experiential. See, that's the one thing I left out of that thing of me trying to be a philosophical giant. You can't leave out the fact that God's a person and he's alive. And to know him is experiential. It's not just experimental. It's experiential. It's not just theologic or philosophic, though those things are certainly part of it, but it's an encounter. It's a connection. And I didn't know that. And when I knew that, all my classic words kind of said, thank you. It's about all I could get out. Disciples are there. And he's brought peace so he can bring the power of the life of God into them. And he breathes and says, receives. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, here I give. He just says, here, receive. Because the emphasis is on your part receiving. He's the giver. Giving to him is no big deal. That's what givers do. But the receiving part is what makes it personal. I was carrying Sam, my grandson, when he's first born. 7 or 8 days old. He's just on my shoulder, and he would hurt me bad now if that happened, but I just walked him one day, and a friend of mine came up to him, and he said, that's a cute little dude, and I said, well, yes, and, you know, why wouldn't he be? And he said, that's really neat, isn't it? I said, oh, man, I've been waiting for this for a long time, and then he looked at me, he said, John, you don't know the half of it yet. In fact, I told you this, Brian. I said, wait till he can reciprocate. You're just loving him right now. Wait till he can show you that he loves you. And I said, hadn't even considered it. My friend was right. Because it was great doing this. But we would jump up in my arms. The kids would all five get on me. And, you know, used to walk into the Gertz house where all the little kids were, and they just all jump on me, and I'd hang with them all. It was great. reciprocation is built into relationship. And loving him, we just spent 30 or 5 minutes singing loving him. Man, he wants to love on us too. Well, that's a little mushy. No, man, this is reality. Why do it if you're just obeying rules and regulations that don't lead anywhere? Who wants to do that? I mean, yeah, there's some obedience, pretty important thing, but that's different than rules and regulations. When it's flowing out of, and you have connection. Wow, wow. I've been to recitals and soccer games and dance things and, I don't know, all sorts of things that I would never have had in my life before until my kids started doing them. And then I went because I loved the kids. Well, I didn't really like the recitals very good. And some, it's cold at the soccer games, you know, or hot at the ball games. But it wasn't about that. I did some things that I never had in my life before because of who I had in my life. And that's a lot like knowing the Lord, isn't it? But it's based out of this. It's based out of a heart thing. But like I said, that was a good meeting to be in. Would you like to have been in that meeting? Ooh. Well, since Jesus never changes, maybe this might not be a bad meeting to be in either. But Thomas missed the meeting. I don't know if he was Ubering. I have no idea. I don't know what he was doing. I mean, he didn't make the meeting. So Thomas says, verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, because he's a twin. His name means twin. He wasn't with him when Jesus came, so the other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. Probably they were saying, we've seen the Lord. You know, pagan. You know, surely no self-righteousness there, but we've seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Close that case. How many of you know that guy? Yeah. Yeah, me too. My name wasn't Thomas, but that's kind of where I was. So for 8 days, he's a non-believer. And he's living with all these other guys that have had this incredible, impactful spiritual experience. I think that was probably enough punishment. But after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came. The doors were locked and shut, and he stood in their midst, and he said, peace be with you. And probably there wasn't as much peace since Thomas hadn't been there. Things might have been a little. But he said it again because that's what they needed. Then he said to Thomas, reach in here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. Wow. See, when somebody is an unbeliever and they act like it, you know that they're not a believer. So there should be things that believers think and do and say that would cause you to think they're a believer. That's just a logical deduction. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you've seen, have you believed? Blessed are those who didn't see and yet believed. See, that would be us. I don't know about you, but I have not seen the resurrected Jesus. I haven't had an encounter with him. I haven't put my hands in the nail holes and this stuff. And I'm happy to say now, I don't need to. He wants to come, I'm here. But what the reality of him being alive that he made to me by showing me that he was the truth and the truth was a person, and that's the only way I could know the truth, by knowing the person who is the truth. That was all, I was a convinced buckaroo. That's all I'm going to tell you. Thomas, who says, oh, I get it. Isn't it cool that he came back because Thomas needed to be part of the group? And Thomas needed to have the opportunity to have the same connection as the rest. Doesn't that show you something about him? He's saying, hey, Thomas, walking by faith is better than walking by sight. Now you get to do both. So he wasn't chewing him out, just saying, you'd been better off. You should have made the meeting, dude. You know what I mean? I came to the group and you were part of the group, and you weren't here. I can't help that. But I came for you. He leaves the 99 and he comes for the one. So, well, yeah, but you don't know the person I'm praying for. You're right, but he does. And, you know, bigger dudes than Paul Bunyan have fallen. You know what I mean? The reality of who God is becomes something that pretty soon you can't ignore. So Thomas gets, he's in. And he goes, yes, Lord, I believe. I love verse 30, then we'll quit. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes something supernatural happens and people get really uptight because it's not in the Bible. He says here, there's all sorts of things Jesus did that aren't in the Bible. Do you see that? That was not in my Bible for many years. It was a misprint, I guess. But if you get too uptight about things that are signs or wonders, signs point to something and wonders make you wonder. Now, you don't have to be empty-headed, you know, but also not closed-minded. He just said, many other signs Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, showed himself alive by many convincing proofs, but they aren't written down, right? And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's probably still doing some of those same things that aren't written down. Are you with me? This is good news. Now, so in some circles, if it's really weird, it's God. And I would tell you, too, to the natural point of view, supernatural things are weird. I mean, right? But, you know, some things to me are weird. If they're weird to me, they're probably weird. Because I'm like Farmers Insurance, you know, I've seen a few things. And Jesus did what was necessary for those guys to get it. Because he was entrusting, really, the salvation of the rest of the world and the people that would be born for the rest of time to these guys. Right? So I wouldn't have left anything out. I'd have put everything in the book. He didn't. He didn't. Why didn't he? It's his book. You know, I mean, many other signs Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples that aren't written in the book, but these have been written. Why? So that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, you can have life in his name. There's a peace that comes so you can have life in his name. I want to read it to you from the Amplified. But these things are written and recorded in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through believing and trusting and relying upon him, you may have life through and in his name, through who he is. Not who he was, but through who he is. There's a life that you can have through who he is, the resurrected Son of God. Wow. That would be the one I would sign up for. Right? And he said, that's why this stuff was written. Why were the other things left out? Not important. These things are written so that we'd have something to believe in. And not just believe and say, well, got that one checked. No, it's a way to life that has abundance in it. It's a way to life that has God in it. It's the Zoe, the God kind of life that only God can give. And he says, here's what happens. I come with peace so I can come with power so I can empower you to a life that gives peace to others and distributes the power of God to others. That's what he said. That's why this is written. This is a really good way to start a new year. Why did he write the book? Is that the Bible or the book of John? Take your pick. Well, we'll just limit it to the Gospel of John. Why did he write that? So you'd have enough to believe in. People ask me what to read first, book of John. Why? Well, because it's my book. I mean, come on. I used to think that was important. But there are the things written in that book, the Bible says, that give you the reasons to believe. Isn't that strong? Isn't that strong? I mean, that's really good. And so, well, then why should I read it? So you have something to believe. Right? He's undergirding truth for you in this book. But he starts with this. Shh. peace. You know, you got, sometimes you got to lay down the arguments. And you got to lay down, but I don't understand. Man, I couldn't get rid of the I don't understand. Like they killed me. Just about did. And what happens is that he breathes on you. What happens is he ignites life in you in a way that you can go all the way through. Now, I don't know about you, but a really good resolution at the beginning of the year would be to connect with God so we could have new life in him. And that may be for the very first time if you don't know the Lord. And maybe it's just for the very first time this year if you do. But there are new levels of life, new dimensions of life, new understandings of life, new ways to receive peace, to be touched by his power, and to be then empowered to levels of life. You know, I think I can say this with legitimacy. I came to the Lord in 1974. I got more life in me now than I did then. Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, it's true. Physically, that might not be the case, although there's still a little energizer bunny in there cooking, you know. But just like physically I've aged and changed since 1974, spiritually things have happened too. Probably not near as much as he had intended, but not nothing. And so I want to tell you, he can breathe on you today, put you at a place like that. I just see it like a runway, peace just being the runway for the power of the love of God to connect with people and introduce them to levels of life, many experientially, that cause us to see the fulfillment of the promises of God come real and true in our lives. If you can, why don't we stand together? I want you to know that I cheated. And we prayed this in the prayer room before we left yesterday. And so, the fact that people came up with the idea of expectation today is very good, because I have some. See, Jesus didn't say, okay, guys, you know how this has been. I spent more time with Peter, James, and John, so I'm going to breathe on them. He breathed on all of them. He didn't say, hey, you know, Peter and James and John, they've kind of been running the show, so I'll just let them do it, and they can breathe on you. He didn't do that either. You know what he did? He said, here, I've been offering proof to you since I got here that I am who I say I am. And now, I want to command a blessing over you. I want to speak to you specifically and say, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to breathe, and you're going to receive the presence of the Spirit of God. You're going to have an encounter with the Spirit of God. We didn't have time for interviews, but I guarantee you, what happened to Peter was different than happened to John, was different than happened to Thomas later. People got connected to by the Spirit of God exactly the way they needed to. Because that's what he's like. So I don't know what's the most comfortable position for you, to bow your head or hold your hands out or fold your hands, whatever is the most natural position for you. If the Lord was standing where I am and he was about to walk down the aisle and say, I'm here to breathe on you. I'm here to command a blessing of love and power over you. Whatever position you would take, whatever openness of heart you would have, whatever stillness of mind you would have, enter there. Lord, we believe that you are no respecter of persons. And you came to your followers in John chapter 20 when they were scared spitless, didn't have a hope for the future, totally confused, just wanting desperately to believe and what the best could be, and at the same time, that how could that possibly be? And they were in that posture of thinking when you stepped in the room and said, "It's all right. It's all right. I'm here." Lord, I invite you to step into this room just like that today. Breathe on us, breath of God. Cause an engagement, an encounter between each heart and you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thought you told me to put that down. This is the peace that leads to life. And I pray, Lord, for a touch of life to be on each person. Breath of God, settle on each person. I'm going to say this so I quit hearing it in my head. Some of you either are saying this or thinking this, the pattern set, it's just the same over and over again, the pattern set. It's just going to happen like it's always happened. There's a pattern, and I see it, and I can't get out of it. And I just saw the Lord changing spools. Patterns, you say, is the same, but the thread's different. He just changed threads on you. And it can't produce the same result because it's new thread. Thank you, Lord. The fact is, you won't believe what it looks like. It's so much different. So much different. I'm going to stop, but just stay with me one more minute. I'm down here, the light's pretty hard to see. I don't know where everybody is in their heart with the Lord. Some of you may be like me. Are you kidding me? I'll never be convinced of that. It doesn't make sense. And then, Lord, you humbled me. Spoke to me. And I pray that for the first time today, you would speak in such a way, Lord, that somebody can say, you know, I don't have to have all of the answers, but I got this one. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I say yes. Just as simple as I just did it, you say that. And then you either come and tell me or you tell the person that you're with. Just tell somebody, I just prayed that with Pastor John. I'm giving my life to the Lord. Father, thank you for the goodness and grace that you show us. Thank you for the fact that you went where people were. They were assembled in that little room. You didn't make them come to you. Didn't have to go to Mecca. They didn't have to, you know, travel 500 miles to get to the right spot. You came into their spot. And I pray for everybody to recognize that he comes into our spots. And his love is more powerful than my fear, than my doubts, my unbelief, my misbelief. And I pray, Lord, that people will hear in their heart, peace be with you. And we embrace it, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.